This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. I don't want to waste any time at all bringing in our guest because he's a special guest, and it's Brian Billick. And he joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Coach, it's great that you could join us. And I got to say, out of the gate, we've had some technical issues on this show, mainly because Bart's Wi-Fi is horrific. you are, that's elite Wi-Fi you have going here.
I feel like
we have
he's
you on ESPN Plus right now.
Who'd have thought that an old man like me would have this stuff figured out, you know?
And Bart can't get it figured out.
I don't know how to get online.
But I have to, all right, so I need to ask out of the gate, because Bart and I have been together for a year. We've gotten to know each other really well, and I hear all the different stories. I got to know, because you coached him as a young player, what was the Mad Backer like in his early days in the NFL? And honestly, how close did you come to saying, we got to get rid of this guy?
I was always in a pretty
good office. Well, I tell you what, warm-ups were always interesting because, you know, you come out and Bart was always chewing at somebody. And at some point, you want to kind of go, hey, let's lay low with that, except he was so damn funny over it. You really couldn't wait to come out and listen. Whether, you know, I mean, he just, after this guy and that guy, it kind of loosened things up. And no, Bart was great. He brought passion to practice and brought passion to the game. Sometimes a little too much passion got us in trouble, but all in all, it was pretty good.
Tell him what you're talking about. You're talking about the passion when I threw the flag in the stands because New England cheated us, Coach. Yeah. They cheated us, and somebody had to say something, and I said it. Cost me money,
though. You did.
You know what? I wanted to send you an invoice because I never got that money back. Nobody ever put it in the pot and said, hey, Bart, $25,000 that you got fined. Here you go.
That's not going to work because I ended up getting fired over it. So you ain't going to get any money out of me now.
Well, so I owe you, Coach, so I'm sorry.
You cost him money.
That's right.
I tell you what, I remember the early years how I used to always have to go up to the principal's office because before I became a starter, you know, I was a special team guy and I was always doing my own thing. But it was funny because now I think about it, the guy who was going to give me my walking papers and tell me, hey, get your playbook, take it up to the coach, go see coach, is now the general manager for the New York Jets. And it's like crazy how ironic how like where he came from and where he started to where he is now. Can you tell everybody what Joe Douglas was like, the Turk? Because you gave him the Turk and you made him say, hey, tell, he was a grim reaper if guys were scared to swing on him because he's a big dude.
Yeah, I tell you what, Joe, and he was with us early. And, you know, as you know, when you get started in the organization, you always get the worst jobs. So he had to start out of the Turk. I remember with Joe, the one problem I had with Joe is it, and you know, when you go to cut guys, it's tough because it's just one guy after another, and it you can easily lose track of it. Well, he brought us a tight end, and I'm talking to the guy and you know, just trying to do my normal spiel and saying, you know, look, it's unfortunate. And this guy's looking at me like, well, you know, this is not right. And I figured he should know this until I realized Joe brought me the wrong guy. He's going to make our team. So I had to get, no. Joe's fabulous. I tell you what, he's going to do a good job with the Jets because Joe is a grinder. He's not a political schmoozer. He is just a guy. He grinds the film. He does the work. He works the players. And so he and Robert Saleh are going to be a good combination because Joe was grounded very well, learned from Ozzie Newsome, and he's just a worker and a grinder.
Now, I tell you what, like one of the first decisions he's going to have to do is what to do with Sam Darnold. And listen, you've always been the quarterback whisperer. You've always been the offensive expert. You know, when you think about Sam Darnold, is he able to be salvaged? Is it more about, you know, the situation that he found himself in? Can he be saved? And can he still be considered one of the best quarterbacks out of this class, out of that 2018 class, even though he's gotten off to a slow start?
Yeah, one of the hardest things to do is to evaluate a quarterback separate from what's going on around him. And obviously what was going on around Sam Darnold is not good. You know, last year I wrote the book, The Q Factor, that analyzed, used the 2018 draft with Mayfield and Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen and Lamar
Rosen.
Jackson.
You almost forget about
him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but the whole book really was about just that process, not specifically about those guys, but how you go about that. I mean, in what world do you draft Josh Rosen ahead of Lamar Jackson? You know, that process has to be looked at. And the problem I had with Sam Darnold was you know, and I talked to a lot of different people and knowledgeable people about him specifically and about the position at USC. And you can check all the boxes: height, weight, intelligence, big program. He's got it all. But it just seemed like at SC, in the big moments, he kind of disappeared. And you want to know, okay, in the big moments, is the coach willing to put it in your hands? And I think in the first couple of years with the Jets, notwithstanding all that's going around him, and I don't think you can dismiss that, it just seems like he didn't show up in the big moments. Now, this is going to be a tough decision. The easiest decision is to believe that he is the guy, because you can get some capital now with that second overall pick. If you don't feel like you have to take the quarterback, there's going to be some value, and they've already got a boatload of picks. So, you know, the easier path is to decide that Sam Darnold is indeed your quarterback. I don't know what Joe and Saleh will decide. They certainly have some options in terms of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson in terms of if they want to go that route as well.
I'm talking about Brian Billick on the Goodyear Hotline. Brian, I guess that's where I wanted to go next, and I'm glad you mentioned that book, because it is fascinating to think that from that draft class in this year's playoffs, you have three of those quarterbacks are playing. And Baker Mayfield, I think, comes up as the number one pick. But when you talk about Sam and maybe what you need to do with him, is it exactly what Cleveland had to do? Less throw. I know his arm in college was insane and he put up huge numbers as a thrower. But the way they play now, where the running game is more the feature and he is less of the guy throwing the football, is that a better fit for the style of quarterback that he is in the NFL?
Yeah, and that doesn't mean he can't be a 40-throw guy and put the team on his back and win. But so far, when he has been in a manageable game, and I said this the other day after the Pittsburgh game, and it sounded like I was being snarky, but I was really impressed that Baker Mayfield knew how to play with a 28-point lead. And by that, I mean he didn't. You know, the last thing he wanted to do was to force the ball into an interception, put Pittsburgh on a short field, because for them to have, you know, they did score after that 28-point debacle. Pittsburgh did score out 6 out of the next 8 drives. So the one thing you couldn't do is turn the ball over. And he showed discipline doing that. He was still productive. They played the clock. They did a nice job both defensively and offensively. And that's a good thing. Yeah, clearly the formula that Stefanski has in terms of running the ball, Baker in a 30-35 pitch game, play good defense, bring Myles Garrett off the edge. That's a pretty good formula. And if they can work that, it's going to be tougher against Kansas City. But if it turns into a 45-50 throw games for Baker Mayfield to keep up for Patrick Mahomes, I don't think that's going to be too good.
Now, you think about this week, you think about the Ravens versus the Bills, something that me and you both have a lot of interest in. You know, you look at Lamar Jackson, how he gets his explosive plays with his legs, opposed to now Josh Allen, who used to use his legs, is able to use his arm because they went out and got him weapons. How do you see this game playing out? And do you think that Lamar, if he's able to get the weapons, he gets his Stephon Diggs, can be able to put the type of numbers through the air like Josh Allen and like Baker Mayfield? Because it seems like the Ravens have neglected to get Lamar Jackson his guy. And I know that Julio Jones is out there. I'm just saying, he's available.
Yeah, that would be quite a pickup. You know, let's go back to last year when they played. Buffalo actually did a pretty good job of negating Lamar in the running game. He had 11 carries for 40 yards. They kept him horizontal. He did throw 3 touchdown passes. And the Bills' offense, as we've already talked about and you alluded to, Josh Allen last year isn't even close to what he's playing right now. And that was still a 7-point game, even though the Bills' offense wasn't particularly productive. It's going to be interesting. I think they'll do a good job defensively. But like Tennessee found, boy, all you got to do is mess up once or twice, and boy, he's going to go the distance for the length of the field. The key is, can Josh Allen have some efficiency? You're right, getting digs is huge. The young receiver, Gabriel Davis, is really looking pretty good. The one thing they're missing is a regular running game outside of what Josh Allen gives them. So that's the thing I'm going to be interested in seeing what happens.
And we'll see what the weather also is. It always does affect the way you can play, the way you can throw the ball. So you went through this. You were a hotshot coordinator. You had that record season with the Vikings in 98, and everybody now wanted to hire you. The Ravens did eventually do that. So you've been through this experience that Asala has been through, Eric Bieniemy's going through, Arthur Smith, who seems like he's getting an offer from Atlanta as well. What is the toughest thing? As we see this a lot, a coordinator gets his chance, and it doesn't always work out. We talk about leader of men. Today, everybody says CEO now for head coach. What was for you the first challenge of going from coordinator to now you're the guy, you're the main guy in the room now?
Well, when you're a first-time head coach, the guys you're alluding to will be. Obviously, they're capable, and they're good coaches. That goes without question. The thing they have to do, obviously, is sit with general managers and owners and convince them, yes, I understand the job. I understand the scope of the job. I know how to structure practice and deal with the media and have the training room and the equipment guys. And that you can do all that. And they all come in with their big books. That's the Vogue thing. Everybody's got their plans and their practice plans. Say, yeah, see, I know how to do that. And I did the same thing. And then you get the job and you sit behind the desk and go, holy, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. What do I do now? You know, what's because it is on the job learning, so to speak. But they'll do well. You know, they got to put the staff together. That's always job one. Start putting that structure together. Certainly in the case of the Jets, Saleh's coming in with some really good assets in terms of that second overall pick in what looks to be a good quarterback draft. They've got a number of picks. They've got lots of cap space. So he's coming into a pretty good position, and now it's just a matter of, you know, just next day. What goes the next day? Well, you know, I got to do this. I got to do that. Start putting those pieces in place, and then all of a sudden you show up and you play the season.
You know, Coach, I don't know if you realize this, but the reason why your players loved you so much is because you sympathized with us and that you made it a partnership and not a dictatorship. I can remember, I tell people all the time, you said, hey, first they fire, we'll fire you, then they fire me, so that our jobs and our existences intertwined with each other. You always gave us that level of respect. I look at a guy like Urban Meyer, who has never been in a professional locker room before, never had to deal with people that had mortgages, that had kids, that had responsibilities, and may have more real estate within the organization than he does because of their contract. How do you make that type of move from college to the pros? Because you were once a college coach. How do you make that switch and also earn the respect of the men in that room? And when you look around all the open jobs, who has the toughest job? Because you inherited a locker room of some characters. Right, so you had to earn their respect early. You look at, you know, the job with the Jets. This is a young team, not with a lot of veterans. You can come and crack the whip. I look at Jacksonville. You can crack the whip. But I look at a situation like the Philadelphia Eagles. You got some disgruntled old people out there that you might have to get rid of.
But then again, with the age, what do we do?
You know, and it's a different set of issues. You know, there's no reason to think Robert Saleh is not going to be a good coach. The one qualifier is he's never been a head coach, so that's where you look and say, okay, we'll see how that goes. With Urban Meyer, no question, phenomenal coach, unbelievable success, comes in prepared, he's been around the college game, he knows it. The one qualifier is he's never been in the NFL, and you're exactly right, Bart, it is a transition, and I'm sure Urban Meyer understands that, because you're not going to treat a professional, you know, a team of professionals like you did the college, the players. You know, I've always said, and I have a number of coaches, college coaches will reach out to me and say, well, will my stuff work? Is that something I want to do? That's really the question right now for me is, will Urban Meyer enjoy working with a pro athlete? Because it is different. He's going to have to develop a relationship with every member of his team the way he did his college quarterbacks. Because that was a special relationship. He was an offensive guy, and you develop that kind of relationship, but you don't necessarily with the entire team. He didn't have to because of the structure of a college coach. Well, and Urban knows this, but that's going to be his biggest challenge. He's going to have to interact and communicate with every member of his football team, because like you said, these are grown men, all right? And these are guys that got families and car dealerships and mortgages, and they've been in a long time, and he's going to have older veterans that have been there and he hasn't, and he's going to have to show them, yes, I know what I'm doing here, believe in what we're doing. But he's going to have to communicate that on a regular basis in a way he probably didn't have to in college.
I'm talking with Super Bowl champion coach Brian Billick. As you mentioned, the quarterbacks, especially Trevor Lawrence at number one, but the quarterbacks in this draft, I wonder if you'll do maybe a follow-up to your book on the 2018 draft for this one, because this is also a very interesting draft. And if you think about not just Trevor Lawrence, and I'd love to get your thoughts on what you think he can become, but also Justin Fields and the question marks about him. You know, again, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Is this an interesting group of quarterbacks in this year's draft coming up in 21 that would be comparable to 18 or not?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that drew me to look at that 2018 group, and again, that we use that as a backdrop to look at the process. Yes. That's really what the book is about. But one of the things that made it interesting was we knew we were going to have a lot of them. We knew there's going to be, you know, a diverse where they were picked, and their backgrounds and their style of play each brought a little something different, which tells you there's no one prototype NFL quarterback. So that made it interesting. I think we've got the same thing because you look at Trevor Lawrence, and I'll make some analogies here, and I don't, you know, you got to be careful when you do that because that now you're affirming or negating whether they're good or not. You got Trevor Lawrence that I would equate to a little like a Joe Burrow. All the prototypical skills, is also has some athleticism about him, comes from a huge program and success, has been a national champion. So I would compare him to that. Justin Fields, a lot of people will look and see, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not that kind of athlete. A little bit more like Jalen Hurst, possibly. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a positive sense, maybe he can develop and be a little more like a Deshaun Watson, which would be a favorable. Zach Wilson, to me, is a little like a Justin Herbert, which, again, is a favorable analogy because of the job that he's done. He looks like he's going to be spectacular. And the other guys that you're alluding to, you know, they're varying degrees, some a little more pocket, some a little more athletic out. So, you know, whatever your choice is, whatever your passion is, or whatever you think type of quarterback you want to wrap a team around, you're going to have some choices here. That's what makes the top guys, if indeed they're the top guys. It's the one everybody's talking about. I don't know if they really come down that way. But Lawrence, Fields, and Wilson, if indeed it goes down that way, a lot of it will be dictated by the style of offense you think you want to run because they each represent a different style of play.
The most intriguing thing is about me, Coach. You know, it's crazy. I think that, you know, Josh Rosen has been – I mean, I think it's criminal what's happened to him. With him not even getting an opportunity, now he's in San Francisco right now. But, you know, I say what makes the Ravens a great organization is the fact that they realized that they had a talented player, but it was entirely the wrong system. They built an offense around his skill set, understanding that you can be dominant in many different ways. An explosive run of 50 is just as effective as an explosive pass of 50 as well, right? There's more ways to skin a cat. So when I look at these guys that come into this year's draft, it's going to be about where they go and if the organization decides to build around their skill set and not try and put a square peg in a circle hole.
Yeah, you're exactly right from the standpoint that, and Baltimore deserves great credit for going all in. And hey, if he's going to run 150, 170 times, so be it. Because that's very unconventional, and they wrapped the pieces around the offense to fit that. You look at a guy like Justin Fields, and okay, if you're going to take him that high, then he's going to be your starting quarterback. But that is an organizational decision that we are going to now become that kind of team. And there's a lot of changes to go with it. And so you're all in. And because you're right, if you don't, if you try to piecemeal it or, okay, we're going to make them, you know, quasi this or that, you're going to put that square peg in a round hole and it's just not going to fit. That's what makes Philadelphia interesting to me is that you got Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurst. Whoever takes that job, obviously part of it is, okay, who's going to be your guy? But I don't know how they go forward with both these guys. And if they do the proverbial, oh, we'll make it an open competition. Oh, well, so what are you going to do? You're going to put in one offense for Carson Wentz, practice that and play it. Then you're going to put in another offense for Jalen Hurst and let him practice and play it and then decide what you want to do. I just don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I completely agree, certainly with that. If you're going to have two quarterbacks, make sure they play the same system. Now, we see you on ESPN Plus as we do our show here also on ESPN Radio, and my eye is drawn not just to the Lombardi behind you, of course, and the ME, congratulations, but also to the logo X-Tech that's on the sweater that you're wearing right now. Tell us a little bit about X-Tech equipment and what you're doing with them.
Yeah, it's been amazing. 8 years when Bob Broderick and Teddy Monica came to me and said, hey, we got this idea for a new pad, and do you want to be part of the group, part of the ownership group? And it was just all on paper. And to see now, after 8 years, we're the number one pad in the National Football League. You know, guys like George Kittle, DK Metcalf, Josh Allen, who we've been talking about, Aaron Donald, and it's replete through the elite college game, you know, whether it's Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, all on X-Tech pads. They're available to the high school players now. And to watch the evolution you know, you got to take the head out of the game, right? So pads become that much more important. And there really hadn't been much innovation in pads. Back when you were playing, Bart, I mean, you just wore the pads, right? Whatever Eddie Carroll said, yeah, wear that, you wear that. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. And these pads are almost form-fitted anymore. We have an incredible database where we can take your age, your level of play, your height, your weight, your injury history, your position, to find out what is kind of the best crafted pad for you, because obviously in today's game, that kind of high-end technology and high efficiency in the pads that we have, this is what the players are demanding, and X-Tech Pad delivers it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, if you need some impact testing, you need somebody to put some sensors on some things and hit some stuff, Coach, I got a need to hit something. You know, I got no outlets no more.
There you go. It may put us all in jail, but that could be interesting.
Yeah, as long as I'm nowhere near it, because sometimes I wonder if it's right. Me that he's looking to hit, if you know what I'm saying. Coach, right. Great to talk to you. Really appreciate the insight, of course. Always good to catch up as well.
Thanks for not firing
all right,
guys. Me, Coach.
Good to see you. You got it, Bart. Good to see you.
Brian Billick giving us that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract.
Best Wi-Fi in the game.
No compromise. Coach was good. Really that great thing, insight
that,
of the quarterback.
That thing didn't drop. That thing didn't flicker. I mean, jeez.
Oh, his Wi-Fi?
What's up with that? Who's his provider?
First of all, you should be embarrassed. Let's be honest. You should be embarrassed that, and he said it himself, a guy in his 60s gets Wi-Fi. He's getting the whole Zoom thing right, and you're at home, and it's like you're pixelated.
I got the slow
speed. You become Max Headroom when
you're at
home.
Hey, I got the slow speed. I got dial-up.
Right. When Bart dials in, it's like, hello. You've got mail. We'll try to work it out, but we've had a great time here at the Seaport this week, at least getting to do it in the same place, which is awesome. And you can hear the helicopters flying around us because the A-team shows up usually around this time of the show. You know what else we do at this time of the show? We do Blitzer Prevent. Yesterday, we went over the Saturday games. Today, Blitzer Prevent will be about your Sunday games in the NFL divisional round. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. And Bart, you know where else?
Where else?
On your smart speaker.
Ah, what do you say in the smart speaker?
In your smart car.
Just say Bart and Hahn, or do you say I say Bart and Hahn?
I think either way would probably work.
Okay.
I think if you just say, hey, Alexa, play Bart and Hahn, I think that would work. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. We did the math. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Are you ready for this? So we did the Saturday games yesterday. Now we do the Sunday lineup, and this is a pretty star-studded lineup that we have for you. And we'll do it on Blitzer Prevent.
Here we go.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming, sack, fumble.
Or Prevent.
Caught, what a catch.
Blitz or blitz.
Right. Or as Bart likes to call it, I always blitz. There really are no rules to Blitz or Prevent. It just sounds good. But it's mainly just we throw out a topic and Bart just blitzes it. But instead, we do the games right now. So we begin divisional round Sunday. Browns and the Chiefs. A 3:05 kickoff. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later.
Yep.
It's on CBS, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo. Kansas City, by the way, laying 10 last I checked. 10?
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, we will discuss. Lunch money comes up next, and we'll get our picks there. Mahomes versus Mayfield, Bart. They've met only once in the NFL, and that was Week 9, 2018, right after Hugh Jackson was fired. But they did have that memorable meeting in college. I don't remember this game between.
Yeah, it was like 1,000 points.
It was like
700
yards each.
Defense optional. I threw
it was
twice.
Like, yeah, it was like 65, 50, yeah, 60 yeah. something, 55, whatever it was. But with these two defenses, you never know. Maybe you don't take the under on 700 yards for either of these teams. All right, we'll talk about all that stuff in lunch money. But right now, let's talk football. The Browns won their first playoff game in over a quarter century last week in Pittsburgh without their head coach and some key players due to COVID. They'll have Kevin Stefanski back. Perhaps more importantly, their cornerbacks, Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson. But will it matter? The Chiefs seem like an unstoppable force, and coming off a bye week, a well-rested force. So blitz or prevent? Cleveland's running game has been their staple and identity. But if the Chiefs open up early and an early big lead against the Browns, they may be doomed to trying to keep pace using Baker Mayfield's arm.
You know, I'm going to go negative because I'm going to blitz this. And first of all, when you think about, you know, who scored the most points, you know, Cleveland's right behind. I think they may be slightly ahead of Kansas City because they've scored 40 like four times this year. People don't really know that about them. You know, when you have a running game like that, it breaks everything wide open. You can get whatever you want when you can establish a run. And they have exactly that. And the three losses of Kansas City, guess what? They've given up 166 yards on average on the ground. So listen, when you look at what Kareem Hunt was able to do last week, you look at what Nick Chubb was able to do last week, and they're only going to get better and stronger as their team is more whole and they get their leader back, I think this is going to be a much closer game than people anticipate. I believe that at the end of the day, Kansas City may get the victory, but I'm telling you what, whenever you can run the ball like that and you understand that Kansas City don't have a great defense, it's actually pretty damn bad. It may be the worst defense left in the damn playoffs, but guess what? Whenever they bring down Tyrann Mathieu and he gets a little nosy, that's when you get an opportunity to throw the ball over the heads because they don't have anybody on their team outside of Chris Jones, the pass rusher, and Tyrann Mathieu that can start on any other team in the playoffs left. And that's a fact.
When he gets a little nosy, we'll find out. Next game, Bucks and the Saints, 6:40 p.m. kickoff. It's on Fox, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Saints are favored by 3. Yeah. As the home team. So it's Breeze versus Brady, and let's cue Mike Gundy.
I'm a man, I'm 40.
Both of them.
Yeah, 42 and 43.
And it's the first matchup of 40-year-old quarterbacks in NFL playoff history. And while Tom Brady has dominated the NFL over the last 20 years, it's Breeze that has dominated TB12 as they've met on the field. Breeze has a 5-2 record against Brady, which is the best of any quarterback to face Brady at least four times. That record includes 2 wins this season as Breeze and the Saints go for the sweep to reach the NFC Championship game. Since they don't actually face each other on the field, let's focus on why the Saints seem to own Brady, their defense. Bruce Arians believes in the no-risk-it, no-biscuit approach, and that encourages the deep passing game. But against the Saints this season, Brady is 2-for-10 with 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on pass attempts beyond 20 yards. They also pressured him on 36% of his dropbacks this season compared to 15% by everyone else in the league. Blitz or prevent? Breeze, Alvin Kamara, and Michael Thomas haven't appeared in the same game that much this season, but when they do, they're a prolific offensive trio. Tampa's only chance is to win this in a shootout.
No, I'm going negative on that. I'm going to blitz that. Guess what? No risk it, no biscuit. It's got to be thrown out of the door. Whatever that game plan was last time and the time before that, burn it.
Ronald
bury
Jones
it.
Time.
But guess what they discovered, right? And this is the problem. This has been the biggest... What's a big word? Conundrum?
Conundrum.
Like, yeah,
good.
Okay,
I can
use that one. Yeah, I stayed at Holiday Inn Express. Conundrum, right? And the biggest part has been the fact that Marcus Lattimore owns
Mike Evans.
Yes. He owns Mike Evans.
Paul.
And listen, Mike Evans don't know what to do. It's some guys' styles make fights, and that's a bad style for Mike Evans. Fortunately for Tampa, it's this guy named Antonio Brown that used to be the baddest man on the planet when it came to wide receiving. He's starting to have a flashback. I think he's going back to the future because if you look at the Tampa Bay Bucks over the last couple of weeks, it's been all about Antonio Brown and his explosive plays, his ability to get down the field. We already know he can take it short and take it to the house, but man, he's stretched the field. It's going to open things up. Also, 12 personnel, or you can call it Tiger where I'm from. Tiger, 2 tight end sets, makes it a lot harder for those DNs to get around the edge to get to terrific time. That allows terrific time to be really really tough because guess what? He's not folding up like a bad tent because he knows he has Gronkowski on the outside protecting him. Because guess what? When you leave 2 tight ends in and they check out, you have 7 to block against their 5. Last I checked, 7 is more than 5.
Did you just go Cheddar Bob on me there? Like, what?
So I tell you what, man, this is going to be an interesting game because it's all about who can make the adjustment. If you're the Saints, you think you continue doing the things you've always done. If you're Tampa, you're going to have to switch it up because you're going to have to say, guess what? Whatever we did before didn't work. And let's see if Bruce Arians and see if Todd Bowles can come out with a better game plan that's based on the run game, short passing, and an occasional shot. You don't have to risk it all the time to protect your biscuit, because sometimes when you risk it, somebody actually takes your biscuit, and the Saints been taking your biscuits all season long. So why don't you protect your biscuits and put it behind Gronkowski and Cameron Brate, your best personnel grouping.
This is a fascinating game if you really think about it. And it's amazing, too, as that's Blitzer Preven, and you did a great job, as always, Porky Pig. But you think about, right, so this game and the Bills-Ravens game, you have two young quarterbacks going head-to-head that you probably will see for a long time. Actually, Baker and Mahomes, too. I mean,
it's everybody over there.
Really interesting quarterback, but you have the two old guys, the two goats, and you got the kids on the other side of it, which makes this weekend really an interesting matchup weekend, don't you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be interesting because we know somebody's on the way out, and Drew Brees already said, I believe, that this is his last season. He's going to retire. We know Tom's right behind him. I don't care how many nightshade vegetables you don't eat. Eventually, your body going to fall off or break down, and Tom is on deck. You know what I'm saying? You see that chin, that divot getting deeper and deeper. He's starting to look like Superman Part 12.
No, it's not the divot. No. You know, when you see a man age, it's the ears start to drop.
Yeah, because the ears get bigger. Your ears never stop growing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is the ears just keep coming.
Tom Brady's ears look like my landlord, Louie, back in the day, back in Detroit, when I used to come in, and he had a Doberman Pinscher that every time I used to give him the rent money, the Pinscher act like it's about to bite my hand. I'm like, look, bro, listen, my mama sent me down here. If you bite me with this dog, we're going to own this house outright. Believe that, Louie. Rest in peace, Louie.
Rest in peace, Louie, and probably the Doberman Pinscher as well.
My mama listening. She know what I'm talking about.
All right, great job on Blitzer Preven. So coming up, we'll have another segment we call Lunch Money. Now we'll dive a little bit deeper into these games this weekend. We'll pick them with the spread in mind and give you reasons why, of course.
Did I bet $1,000 last week?
You and I both. We both were
3-0. You picked Cleveland?
We both were 3-0.
Yeah.
We make money. That's what we do. Money. That's why we call it Lunch Money.
Yeah, we got
That's
money,
coming up next. Money. Yeah, Bart on ESPN Radio, money, ESPN
money.
Plus.
Yeah, we got money.
Bart and Han.
And we are. Dirty. Baby, I got your money.
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear hotline. So, yes, we got your money. But first, I want to tell you about Stephen A. Smith, who goes beyond the headlines to unlock a unique world of hot takes, one-of-a-kind segments, and can't-miss interviews. Stream all this and more on his new show, Stephen A's World, exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com, because you can also catch us every weekday at noon Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m. and Max Kellerman at 2 p.m. And why wouldn't you want to see us? Because you hear the madness on ESPN Radio. You can then see the madness on ESPN+ as well. We trust you. It's madness. There's no doubt about that. We have. This has been great, though, Bar, right? This week, we've been in this studio up, what do they call it? Is it the rooftop?
Rooftop of Seaport.
Brooklyn Bridge right behind us.
We got a beautiful view.
We got
birds, helicopters.
Flying. Look at this. We got a condor. He's circling. He wants something.
Yeah. And then I hope we not the dead meat that he's looking at.
Hope not. We also had some helicopters. The A-team was just jumping in on us at some point.
VA Baracus.
This has been a lot of fun. We thank ESPN for letting us do this so we can just get together for a little time and have that bonding time that shows always need. But right now, it's not about us. It's about you, and it's about us making you money. And we'll do that with Lunch Money.
Here we go. Let's get some extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco. Here we go.
This is Lunch Money.
That still feels so much like Wayne's World when they went corporate and it just... But anyways. So our games this weekend for divisional round. Let's do them one by one. We'll pick them. We have like a minute to do this. So about 2 minutes to do this. So let's do this pretty quickly. All right. Rams at Packers. Green Bay laying 6.5 here. I'd be more comfortable with 7. It's supposed to snow. We're at Lambeau. Frozen tundra. There will be people in the building. About 6,000 fans there. But still... going to be cold. Could get some snow. Defense of the Rams trying to shut down one of the top scoring, or the top scoring offense in Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Bart, I wish it was 7. With 6.5, I'm taking the Packers.
And you would be wrong, because I'll tell you what. Great defense always beats great offense. Whenever you got
defense travels,
whenever you have impact players at every level, Aaron Donald at defensive tackle. You got Floyd on the outside, but then you got the eraser. The only island out there right now is Ramsey Island, and Ramsey Island can erase Devontae Adams. And where do you go after that? Do you go to Alan Lazard? This is where the chickens come home to roost, and the fact that they decided to go Jordan Love and then go out and get A-Ron some help is when it comes back to bite him in the butt in the playoffs. So I'm taking an upset. I'm taking the Rams.
Rodgers loves where their offense is. By the way, Ramsey Island is like Randall's Island is a little further down.
Ramsey Island, they gave that man $100 million. He got his own island.
Yeah, he better. All right, the next game, Ravens at Bills at Buffalo. Buffalo laying 2.5 in this one. Again, snow in the forecast, cold, lake effect snow, as they always say up there in western New York. I love it up there. So that game is also going to be a bit weather impacted, and I wonder, again, how that affects Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Will Josh Allen throw? Will he run? Will it be more of a ground game? Will it be a defensive game? 2.5, once again, just take the home team here. I would never really want to bet this game, but since we're just picking them, I'll go Bills, and I'll lay the 2.5.
So bad weather, defense, running game. Both favors the Ravens. So if it becomes a bad game, you know, the Ravens have the better running game and they have the better defense. So I'm going to go Ravens, and I don't care what it was because, listen, I still need my key code to work when I go over there. I still want to be invited into the building. So I'm not going to pick against the squad, especially not when it's 2.5.
Yeah, your purple's showing. Fix that. All right, next game. We only got a minute now, so we got to be quick again. Browns at the Chiefs. Now, it's again, Chiefs minus 10. The Chiefs laying 10. Again, I hate that 10 because you always wonder about that late score that kind of messes things up. But the Chiefs have not been outscoring their opponents of late down the stretch about 6 points. And the Browns have been a team that looks like they are that team you just don't want to play right now because they're hot. I'm going to take the Browns in this one. I'm going to dare to take the Browns and take those 10 points quick.
I'm going to dare right with you because I picked the Browns against the Steelers last week, and I was right, and I'm going to be right again, especially when you talk about laying 10. The Chiefs hasn't played a meaningful game in almost 3 weeks. They're going to come out flat. And listen, the Cleveland Browns have been playing with their hair on fire because it's playoff mode. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
Bucks Saints. Saints laying 3.
Saints.
I'll take the Saints. Both take the Saints. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the games. Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.